Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24. Remain standing just for another few moments. I often say this, but there is nowhere in the world that I would rather be preaching than to the people of Calvary Chapel. I love this church. I love preaching here. And I like to preach other places, but there's nothing like preaching here to you wonderful people. And I'm privileged to pastor a great church, great people, and God is good. In fact, I was meant to be in a meeting today in Melbourne because I'm the national youth president. But I told them, I said, I'll send my secretary treasurer. If I can be in church on Sunday in Canberra, I'll be in church on Sunday in Canberra. And then after service today, I'll drive there and I'll be in my compulsory meeting is tomorrow. So I'll be there tomorrow. I didn't have to be there this afternoon. So I'm here. And I'll be here again on the 8th because I like to preach here. This is the sheep that God has put me in charge of. And I want to be here with the brethren. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. Now, for you that pay attention to the preaching, you might recognize a little bit of what I'm preaching. I've preached it before. Great message for New Year's Day, and I want to preach it again. Genesis chapter 32, verse 24 says, "And Jacob was left alone." Everybody say, "Left alone." "And there he wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him," or when the man or that angel that jumped on Jacob, when the angel saw that he could not win the match against Jacob, the Bible says that the angel touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, this is the angel. Remember, the angel was the one that jumped on Jacob. But now the angel says, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." There's a new day coming. The sun is about to come up. We've been wrestling all night. Why don't you just let me go? Because the day breaketh. And he said, Jacob said, "I will not let you go except you bless me." And then the angel said unto him, he said, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but you're going to be called Israel." Everybody say Israel. "For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Why do you ask my name?" And the Bible says, "And he blessed him there." And Jacob called the place Peniel. He called it Peniel because I have seen God face to face. This angel was a manifestation of God. He says, "I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him. Everyone say, "The sun rose." It was a glorious new day. The sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. And I want to speak today on this simple thought, a glorious new day. Everybody say, "A glorious new day." Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can be in your house today, that we can start off 2017, Lord, in your house, in your presence, in your word. And Lord, help our ears to be open to what you would say to us as individuals, as families, Lord, as singles, oh God, as married couples, to all of us here today. Lord, we believe that you want to speak to us, so help us to be attentive to what you would say, and that we would hear what you would say to the church. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. You may be seated. A glorious new day. Now, this is a little bit ironic because I thought about putting that picture of the sunset, the sunrise up there, because the chances are nobody here saw the sunrise today. Did anybody see the sunrise? Sister Meg did. One person at church saw the sunrise. It's New Year's Day. We all stayed up too late. In fact, it's probably the hardest service to preach here because everybody stayed up late. And so just to remind you of how beautiful a sunrise can be, if you missed it this morning, I want to speak about a glorious new day. And so
This story that we open with in our text is about the life of Jacob. This wrestling with an angel here at Peniel when he said, I have seen God face to face. This was a major turning point in the life of Jacob. It was the dawning of a new day. It was the dawning of a glorious new day in the life of Jacob. Something changed. And this passage that we read, it introduces us to the most important crisis. The most important crisis. Jacob had lots of crises in his life, but this is the most important crisis in the life of Jacob. You see, we in the story of Jacob, which is so much of it is covered in the book of Genesis. In fact, more of Genesis is given to Jacob than any other character. But in the story of Jacob, we see two aspects of Jacob's life. We see, number one, Jacob as the natural man, and then we see Jacob as a spiritual man. We see two aspects of Jacob. We see Jacob before the grace of God found him. How many people are grateful that the grace of God found them in their mess and their crisis? Yes. We see how the grace of God found Jacob. And we also see how the grace of God did in Jacob's life. And so this little portion of scripture that we've read about the angel wrestling with Jacob, we see that Jacob is in great distress. We know the story, for you that have been to church, know the story about Jacob and Esau and how Jacob had deceived Esau out of his birthright. And prior to this account that we read, Jacob has just found out that brother Esau is coming back to visit him, okay? Just remember, Jacob deceived him. He took his birthright. He took all the wealth in the family with that birthright. And here he finds out that Esau is coming for a visit. Now, in Jacob's mind, Esau wasn't coming for Christmas. He wasn't coming for a family gathering. In Jacob's mind, he's thinking, you know what? Esau's coming to get revenge on me. Because I deceived him. I took everything. I deceived him. He's coming to get me. And what made things worse is that Jacob found out that Esau wasn't coming alone. That he was coming with a posse. 400 men. I think he would have been a little bit scared. And he was. The Bible says that he split his family in two. Because he's thinking, you know what? If Esau comes, he's going to wipe us all out. So split the family in two. In fact, my dad was just booking some tickets. I never think about these things, but my dad just booked some tickets for our family to go away somewhere, and he wouldn't put us all on the same flight. And I'm like, Dad, why? He goes, we can't have us all die in one go. I'll be a little bit positive. The family line has to continue somehow. And so that's what Jacob was thinking. He split his family in two. He said, you guys go over there and I'll take the rest of the family here, over there. And Jacob, the Bible says at the opening of that account, he says, and Jacob was left alone. It seemed right here that everything that he had accumulated, even if it was through deception, it seemed like everything was going to be taken from him. It seemed like his family was in danger. It seemed like his very own life was in danger. And so he split the family. He sent some family over the brook of Jabbok, and he was left alone. You read that in your text. And Jacob was left alone. The night had fallen. Suddenly this mysterious stranger appeared. And in the darkness, this stranger begins to grapple and begins to struggle with Jacob. All through the night, this struggle continues. Who's this mysterious stranger? Well, you don't have to study too far because Jacob says, he says, for I have seen God face to face. Hosea 12 verse 4 gives us a little bit more enlightenment. It says that this man was an angel or a manifestation of God. But he says, I call this place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. And I want to take a few points out of this message today for us going into a new year. The first point, if you go back in your text today to verse 24, you see that in verse 24 it says, and Jacob was left alone. Now, how many people like to be alone? Yeah. Most guys like to be alone. It's true. I was reading a book just in general, but most men are pretty happy with their own company.
That's why you find them living out in the bush somewhere, won't talk to anyone, grow their long beard and all that sort of stuff. But women tend to need company. They like to be around people. They like social. But here, Jacob was left alone. And there he is all by himself, left alone. And there is something very powerful in these five words that we read in verse 24. They're something very powerful for every single one of us. One of the best gifts that you could give yourself in 2017 is to have regular time alone with God. Regular time alone with God. You see, we live in a very, very noisy world. We've got things beeping at us. We've got things ringing at us. We've got things flashing at us. We've got people trying to sell stuff. We've got the TV blaring at us. We've got people talking to us. There's so much noise in the world that sometimes all of the noise of our life can block out the voice of God in our life. And one of the best gifts you can give yourself in 2017 is to resolve that you are going to spend time alone with God. You see, to be left alone with God, to be left alone with God is the only way to arrive at a knowledge of ourselves and our ways. The only way, James, that you can truly understand and look at yourself and see yourself the way God sees you and to hear what God is saying to you is to be left alone with God. There was an old song they used to sing way back in the early 1900s. It was just a simple song called Shut In With God. This is an American song. Shut in means you can't leave the house. Back in the U.S., in the church, they have what they call a shut-in ministry. I was very intrigued by that. I'm like, a shut-in ministry? What's a shut-in ministry? A shut-in ministry is people that go to visit the shut-ins, people that are shut inside. They can't get out of their house. They can't get to church. And this song used to say, shut in with God in a secret place. There I seek his face, there God speaks to me. You see, there's something very powerful for every single one of us here today. And that is the best gift you could give yourself is to be left alone with God. To spend some time with God. Because it is only when you are alone with God, away from people, away from noise, that you can truly come to a knowledge of yourself and of your ways. You see, no matter what you think about yourself, no matter what your friends think about yourself, no matter what your family thinks about you, the greatest question you need to ask yourself is, what does God think about me? And the only way that you're going to answer that question, the only way you're going to learn what God thinks about you and how God sees your life is to be left alone with God, away from the world, away from all the thoughts and the reasonings and imaginations and all the emotions of mere nature, all of those things, and just be alone with God. Only then can we truly see ourselves. You see, this life of ours will never be all it should be unless we make regular time to get alone with God. To get alone with God. In that time of prayer, in that time of devotion, in turning the noise off in our life and to get alone with God. You see, only those who are often alone with God know the benefit of what it means to be alone with God. You see, sometimes maybe you're here today and you say, well, I've experienced God. Yes, you're going to get slight glimpses of his glory here and there. You're going to get the occasional dim view of his beauty. You're going to feel the warming of his love in your hearts. But only when you get alone with God can you be awed of his wonder in the sight of his great beauty and his glory. To be alone with God. To be alone. Everyone say to be alone. You see, God wants to get our attention. Sometimes God is knocking on our lives saying, come on, it's been a long time since we've been alone. It's been a long time since we've talked. God is knocking on the door of a lot of our hearts and saying, you know what? It's been a long time since I've had your attention. Oh, but I was in church on Sunday. You had my attention, but hey, I've been around long enough to know that a lot of our attention isn't on God on a Sunday morning. You got to get alone with God
in that secret place. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to knowing the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ. To truly know Jesus, you've got to get alone with Jesus. And that's why Paul said, for this sake, he says, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ, so that I could know Jesus. Paul said the most important thing in this world is to know Jesus. The most important thing, and Paul had been through some tough times, he said the most important thing is that I know Jesus and that I'm intimate with him, that I have a relationship with Jesus. And so sometimes God wants to get our attention. Now you got a choice. You can give God your attention or you can let him get your attention. There's something in that. You can give God your attention or you can allow him to get your attention. How many people have God has got your attention? Yeah? You were just going through life and something happened, not necessarily good, and God got your attention. Yes, sir. God, you got all my attention now. It's funny. Some people, you don't see them. You don't see them for years in church. Then something happens in their family. Just happened to me this week. Something happens in their family. Someone falls sick. And they're talking to the pastor every week. I'm like, hey, hello again. What's happened? Oh, we need you to pray. God wants to get our attention. Sometimes when God gets us alone, he has to do it. He has to bring suffering. Sometimes God will have to allow our heart to be broken by someone. Sometimes God will allow us to go through temptation or disappointment or sickness because maybe even a broken friendship or maybe even a new friendship or something like that, because God wants to get your attention. He's saying, I'm going to get your attention. You've got to spend time with me. You've been focusing on everything else but me. God says, I want to get alone with you. And Jacob was left alone with God. The second point in verse 24, the Bible says that Jacob wrestled with God. Everyone say wrestled. There's nothing wrong with wrestling with God. Just don't stop wrestling. Sometimes we go through trials and we've got questions. We don't know what to do. We don't know what the answer is. Sometimes you just got to get a hold of God and say, God, I don't understand everything. God, I might not even agree with everything that's happening in my life, and I don't understand why you're allowing it. But God, I'm holding on to you and I'm wrestling with you. Some people here today know what that's like to wrestle with God. And the Bible says that Jacob wrestled with God until the breaking of day. From the dark all the way through the morning, it was this mysterious conflict continued. Now, I was thinking to myself, why did it take God so long to get Jacob's attention? I mean, God could have just done something immediately. In fact, in the end, he did. He touched the hollow of his thigh. But he wrestled with him for so long. That manifestation of God allowed Jacob to wrestle with him for so long. If God was trying to show Jacob something, why did it take God so long to do it? But in thinking of that, we forget that God is long-suffering towards us. I'm thankful that God doesn't let go of me when I wrestle with him. I'm thankful that God doesn't throw me aside when I have doubts, when I have trials, when I don't know what to do, when I even argue with God. I'm thankful that he doesn't let me go. But God is long-suffering. 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says, he is long-suffering towards usward. Do you know what that means? You know what the word long-suffering means? That's the dictionary version. We're not that smart. But long-suffering means to suffer long. And the Bible says that God suffers long with us. How many people know that God suffers long with them? We cause God to suffer, but not just to suffer, but to suffer a long time. And I'm thankful for the long-suffering. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for the grace of God. He is long-suffering, and he wrestled with Jacob until the breaking of the day. I've come to tell somebody today, whatever you're going through, get a hold of God and don't let go of him. Don't let go of him. God will not let go of you. Don't let go of him. Don't give up on God. Your answer is coming. Just keep holding on to God. Everybody say amen. And then the tables turned. Jacob was just alone with God. This angel starts grappling with him. Jacob gets a hold of that angel, that manifestation of God. And then what happens? He's holding so tight onto that angel, Matt, that the angel says, "Hey, let me go." The tables have turned. Verse 25 says, when God saw that he could not win the match against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of his thigh was out of joint. Now, this shows us just how quickly God could have got Jacob's attention. The key point right here is that Jacob was now brought to the end of his own resources. Jacob has now reached a point where he has no more strength. The hollow of his thigh is out of joint. He's brought to the end of his resources. And that's what God would seek to do with us. One swift stroke from a divine hand has now rendered Jacob completely and utterly powerless. And you know, very often, that is the purpose of God's dealing in our life. That is the purpose of what God is trying to achieve in our life, to bring us to the end of ourselves. So many times we are trying to show God how strong we are. We are trying to show God how we've got it all together. We're trying to show God how smart we are. How stupid that is. We're trying to do things in our own strength. And one of the purposes of God, he will bring things into our life to bring us to the end of ourselves. Because it is only when we come to the end of ourselves that the glory of God and the power of God can be manifest in our life, when we come to the end of ourselves. The Bible says that God is looking, his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He's looking for people to show himself strong on their behalf. And Brother Gian, God can't show himself strong on your behalf if you're trying to show God how strong you are. Maxwell, you got big muscles. But God can't show himself strong on your behalf if you're trying to show God how strong you are. You see, Peter, God can't help Superman. Because the Bible says that in our weakness, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. And here, the angel is wrestling with Jacob, and the angel brings Jacob to the end of himself, the end of his resources. And now he's got Jacob's attention. And maybe you've experienced that in your life, where God has allowed something to happen, where you've been rendered, you've been reduced to feeling completely helpless. And you turn to God and say, "God, I got nothing else. I'm sorry for wrestling with you and resisting you and trying to show how I know everything. God, I just want your plan. I just want your purpose. I just want your blessing. I want to walk in your ways. I want to walk in the ways of your word. I give up, God, trying to show you what I can do. And I need you to do something in my life." Everybody say praise the Lord. And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Verse 26, we talked about the tables turning. And he said, "Let me go," the angel said, "for the day breaketh." And Jacob said, "I'm not going to let you go until you bless me." See, look at what God has now accomplished in the life of Jacob. No longer could Jacob wrestle. All he could do was cling. All he could do was cling. All he could do was lean on Jesus. There's lots of songs about leaning on Jesus. We sing that song, "I lean on you, Lord. I lean on you. For the things that I need, I lean on you. When I don't know just what to do, I've got the faith that you'll see me through. To provide my every need, I lean on you." Jacob got to the end of himself. Now he's leaning on God. He's saying, "God, I need you. God, I will not let you go. God, I have no other refuge. God, my helpless soul clings to you. This is the dawning of a new day." You see, this point, this wrestle, this fight between the angel and Jacob is the dawning of a glorious new day in the life of Jacob. You say, how could it be glorious? His hips dislocated. But let me tell you, when you come to the end of yourself, you're getting ready for God to do a work in your life. You're getting ready for God to do a work in your life. And Jacob says, "I will not let thee go." But then he added,
except you bless me. And then verse 27 and 28, if you're following along in your Bibles, it says, and he said unto him, what is thy name? The angel said, what is your name? And Jacob says, my name's Jacob. He said, thy name shall no longer be called Jacob, but your name is now going to be called Israel. For as a prince, you have power with God and with men and hast prevailed. So I wonder why God had to ask Jacob his name. It's obvious that God was pressing on Jacob's conscience. Jacob, tell me your name. What did you used to be? I'm going to give you a new name. You see, Jacob, as a prince, you didn't even know who you were. As Jacob, you contended for the birthright and you succeeded. You contended. You contended for the blessing and you succeeded. You were contending. You were doing. You were wrestling. You were fighting. You contended for Laban and you succeeded. You contended with men and you succeeded. And now you tried to contend with God and you failed. What's your name?
My name's Jacob.
And so his name was changed to Israel. Previously, Jacob had contended for everything. He had fought for everything in his own strength, in his own wit, in his own intelligence. He had sought a way. He had made a way. He had fought. He had deceived. He had done whatever it took to get what he needed. But right now, he contended with God, and now he fails. And God changed his name to Israel. And the simple meaning of the word Israel is that God commands. Before Jacob, you were contending. You were commanding. You were doing things your way. But now you've had this experience with this angel here at Peniel. You once upon a time, you were contending, but now I'm giving you a new name, Israel, which means God is commanding your life. And that is the dawning of a glorious new day. When you give over the reins, when you give over the wheel, that old country song says, let Jesus take the wheel. Let me tell you, why wasn't he in the wheel in the first place? A lot of us try to live the Christian life. We like to say we're great Christians. Jesus is my co-pilot. Jesus is my friend. Something like that. No, Jesus is in charge. He's your Lord. He's your God. And so it's not until God stops us in our tracks. It's not until we get alone with God that we cast ourselves unreservedly on the Lord. And so he has a new name, which means God commands. And in the words of the Bible says, and he blessed him there. It was the dawning of a glorious new day. And all these blessings, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 2 and slide number 10, it says, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. I think it's the next one, Brother Jason. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Turn in your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 2. Quickly turn there. I want to show you the scripture. Chapter 28 and verse 2. It says, it's on the screen, and it shall come to pass. How many people want the blessing of God on their life? Yeah, we all do. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently, everyone say diligently, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, not just the ones that you like, but to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations on the earth. And look, verse 2, it tells us how to get the blessing of God in our life. And all these blessings shall come on thee and shall overtake thee. You're going to have blessing on your life and you're going to be overtaken with blessing. Now, when I read the word overtake, I can only think about driving. You know, you're driving along and someone overtakes you. They're faster, better. Look at that. The blessings of God will overtake you.
The blessings of God will not just come on you, but they will overtake you. They will overwhelm you. The blessings of God will overwhelm, they'll overtake, they will come on you. And here's the key. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, if you obey God's word, if you walk in the ways of God, if you walk according to his word, if you allow God to command your life, like Jacob got to that point. If you allow God to be in command of your life, I'm not saying you just pick and choose what you want to do. No, let God command your life. Be totally submitted to God. This scripture tells us that the blessing of God will be on us and it will overtake us. It was the dawning of a new day. You see, in our flesh, we like to plan and scheme and we desire to order our lives. In our mind, we think we're fully competent. We think we're so smart. But God, in his faithfulness and love, he wants to correct us. He wants to bring us to the end of ourselves so our reliance is completely on him. Before, Jacob was a contender. Until we cease being contenders. You see, until we cease being a contender, the potter can't do anything with your life. Can you imagine that piece of clay on that wheel the potter's working with? And every time the potter goes to try and mold it, the clay goes, "Hey, get your hands off me. You're just a lump of dirt, mate. You're nothing but a lump of mud. If you let me get my hands on you, I might be able to make something out of you." "No, I don't trust you. I want to stay a lump of mud. I'm a good lump of mud. I'm a better lump of mud than the other lump of mud over there. I'm a smart lump of mud, smarter than the average lump of mud." And God says, "But if you just allow me to get my hands on you, I could make you into something. I could turn your life into something that is going to bring glory to God. I can do a mighty work in your life. I can make you what you were always created to be. Your purpose could be fulfilled if I could just get my hands on you." And the clay gives, "Get away. Don't touch me. I don't want to be submitted to you. Let's do a deal. All right? You just let me spin on this wheel. You sit there and you just protect me. You bless me. When I start getting dry, pour a little bit of water on me, because got to keep the clay soft. I don't want to be a dry old piece of mud. But God, you protect me. You pour your blessings on me, but don't touch me. Don't mold me. Don't make me. Don't change me." God says, "I'm not interested. Until you stop contending." And then sometimes God will allow things to come into our lives where we say, "You know what, God? I give up contending. Do whatever you want. I've made a mess of it." There's people here today, I know. We come to that point where we just made a mess of our life. That's the only reason we came to God. We got so low, there was no further to go. We hit rock bottom. We said, "God, I'm sick of contending with you. You got my attention now." It was the dawning of a glorious new day. And when you can get alone with God, when you can allow God to bring you to the end of yourself, that it can be the dawning of a glorious new day in your life. You see, the best gift you can give yourself this new year is to have time alone with God, to allow God to mold and to allow God to make you. And as I close, I want to talk about one last thing. I spoke about this on a Sunday night a little while ago, about the blessing of God and the blessing of man. I want the blessing of God on my life. Young people, there is such a thing as the blessing of man. Tom, you can have the blessing of man on your life, or you can have the blessing of God on your life. It's up to you what you want. You can have the blessing of man or the blessing of God. You see, the blessing of man is fickle. It's finite. The blessing of man can be given and it can be taken away. The blessing of man comes with conditions. But the blessing of God is eternal. The blessing of God is full of power. The blessing of God is that cup that never runs dry. The blessing of God makes us rich and it doesn't bring sorrow. Do you want the blessing of God or do you want the blessing of man? You see, Jacob had the blessing of man. He knew what it was like to have the blessing of man on his life. He went in to his dad. His dad said to Esau, said, Esau, man, you're a hunter. He said, I like venison. Go take your bow and arrow. Go get me some venison. Bring it in. I want to eat. And Rachel overheard the conversation. She's like, okay, I know how. You know, Jacob's already got the birthright. Now he can have the blessing. He can have the blessing. We just got to go in and trick Isaac, who was blind. And so he goes and he tells Esau to go and prepare the meal. You know the way I like it, Esau. You know the way I like it. Cook it like this, cook it like that. A little bit of curry powder, a little bit of chili, lots of salt, and a few raisins. It's just the way I like my venison. And so Esau goes out to hunt. Jacob goes in and deceives him. Isaac's eyes are blind. He's like, hey, is that you, Esau? You sound like Jacob. His eyes were blind. Yeah, it's me. He's come a bit closer, Esau. Jacob put that field smell. You know, Jacob was a homeboy. Esau was a hunter. He would have smelled. You sound a bit like Jacob, but okay, come. You smell like Esau. Come a little bit closer. And he says, how you been going? How you been going? And he reached out and touched his arm because he knew Esau had big hairy arms. Jacob had put that goat skin on his arm. He goes, oh, you got hairy arms as well. And so he deceived his father, and his father Isaac blessed him. And let me tell you, you can have the blessing of man on your life. It's easy to deceive man. Isaac was even a man of God. It's easy to deceive a man of God. It's not hard to get the blessing of man. All you got to do is put on a little show. All you got to do is play the hypocrite. You can have the blessing of this world on your life. All you got to do is wear the mask that the world wants you to wear. All you got to do is put on the facade. But prepare the food that the world likes. And you know what? The world will pour their blessings on you. You'll become popular. Everybody will like you. You'll be blessed by man. You can do it by deceiving. You can achieve worldly fame. The fact is, they can't see the real you. The fact is, it's all just deception. That's how the blessing of man works. Say that you're something that you're not. Man will believe you. They're blind. Say that you're holy when you're not holy. Man will believe you. It's easy to get the blessing of man. But it doesn't matter how many men bless you, it will never replace the blessing of God on your life. I ask you today, as Jacob got to the end of that wrestle, it was the dawning of a glorious new day. He said, I will not let you go, God, until you bless me. You see, for so long I had been walking around with the blessing of man on my life. I had the blessing of dad on my life. I had had all these blessings that the world wanted, all these possessions. He says, it's come to nothing. It's not making me happy. And that's, let me tell you, that's why rich people commit suicide all the time. Because they got all these blessings of man that they thought would make them happy. But when they get to the end, they're like, you know what? I still feel empty. And that's what Jacob, he got the birthright and he got the blessing. He got everything that goes with it. And he walked away and he said, you know, I still feel empty. But it was the dawning of a glorious new day. Jacob got a hold of God and said, God, I'm not satisfied with the blessing of man anymore. I don't care how much stuff I've got. I don't care how many possessions I got. I don't care how much money I got in the bank. I don't care what people think about me and how, you know, it's all a facade. I got it through deception. But I want the blessing of God. God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Maybe you're going through a struggle today. Yeah, there's an easy way out of that struggle. Just give up. Just quit. Stop serving God. But if you hold on to God, the blessing is coming when the struggle is over. Let's all stand today. The blessing is coming when the struggle is over. There's times when we want to give up. But I tell you to hold on. Even though you're wounded, even though God might have brought you to the end of yourself and your thigh is knocked out of joint, I tell you, God is coming. You're going to come through this trial. The Bible says when you come through, you're coming through as pure gold. And Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Jacob had a new name. He had a name, Israel, which means now God was in command of his life. He was now submitted to God's word. We finish with Deuteronomy 28 verse 2. And these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. The dawning of a glorious new day. I think it was New Year's Eve, and I was thinking about, sometimes as a pastor you think about, we've got different social media things we have with our church. I try and think of something encouraging to put out there, or on my personal profile, something to encourage people. Always try to use any social media for the furtherance of the gospel. I put something out there. I said, if you cook a cake and you keep putting the same ingredients in the cake, you get the same cake. And so if you want to have a better 2017, you can't just keep cooking with the same ingredients. Something's got to change. And I've just given you one little ingredient today. It starts with getting alone with God, getting away from the noise. If you're on holidays right now, I don't know, walk to the top of Mount Taylor, sit on a rock and say, God, I just want to be alone with you. God, I know what people think. I know what I think about myself, but God, I need to know what you think about me. God, I want to please you. I'm blessed. I got lots of material things. People think I'm an all right person. I got the blessing of man, but it's not satisfying. I want the blessing of God. And so there's some points there that you can take away from today. Get alone with God. Don't let go of God, even in the midst of your struggle. Don't let go of God. Let God give you a new name. Let Him be in command of your life, and the blessing of God will come. It will be the dawning of a glorious new day. A glorious new day. A glorious new year. A glorious new way. A glorious new walk. A glorious new relationship with God. Praise God. We're going to sing this song as we close. Thank you for being in the house of God today. There's no service tonight. We've got a lot of people away.